Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio at ktym.com. Well, we've been giving you the weather in Lithuania for 25 years, and we're not about to stop today. Tonight it's 25 degrees in Vilnius with a very low rate of precipitation, and tomorrow it'll get all the way up to 30. Monday, 29. Tuesday, 31. Wednesday, 27. Thursday, 27. Friday, 29. And Saturday next week, 27. Nighttime lows, of course, will be below freezing. So take a coat. Watch where you step. Don't slip and hurt yourself. You know, I got to tell you, I had my doubts about Grybauskaitė, our president of Lithuania. Though I respected her, the fact that she was educated mostly in the Soviet Union and stuff bothered me. It always did. But I'm getting a newfound respect for her. Here is the headline. Grybauskaitė calls Russia a terrorist state. During the one-day visit of new NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg to Lithuania back in November, Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė described Russia as a terrorist state due to Russian aggression in Ukraine. On the eve of the visit, back in November, she used the same description of Russia during her interview in to Lithuanian National Radio. The official response from Moscow was angry, and Russia has now imposed unofficial blockades on Lithuanian cars and trucks crossing into the Russian territories. We've been telling you about that, how basically they're holding up people at the border. There are Russian troops in eastern Ukraine now. However, the state of Russia completely denies it, said Grybauskaitė at the time of the joint press conference standing near Stoltenberg in the airspace control center in the town of Karmelova. The state moves in heavy artillery and vehicles, which are unmarked with state symbols. The state orders its troops to take off its insignia and to act without insignia there. Such a state has all the characteristics of a terrorist state. Earlier on the same day, she visited international conference titled The Civil Defense in the Hybrid War, which was organized by the 7,000-member-strong Lithuania Riflemen's Union, which has been rapidly growing. The government-sponsored paramilitary organization, which was first set up in 1919, banned in 1940 after the Soviet invasion, reestablished during the Lithuanian drive to independence in 1969. At the Best Western Hotel in Vilnius, she said, "This kind of war can be chosen only by those who are already open, afraid to openly raise their flag in a battlefield, Vyborskaya said about the Russian troop activities in Ukraine during her opening speech at the conference. Ukraine fights for peace for the whole of Europe. If a terrorist state will not be stopped, its aggression can spread further. She started in her speech, she stated in her speech at the Best Western Hotel. These two sentences were almost an exact repetition of her own words in her interview to Lithuanian radio last month. Now, Russia's official reaction was swift and severe. Grybauskaitė's remarks surpassed even the most extremist statements coming from radical nationalists in Kiev. What she said does not help, but, to the contrary, only complicates the search for solutions in the Ukrainian crisis, reads the statement of Alexander Lukashevich, spokesman for the Russian Foreign Ministry, which was published back in November. Sensible politicians in most countries who are not trying to please those on the fringe of society, but are genuinely concerned about the situation in Ukraine and the state of affairs in Europe and the world, cooperate based on a different responsible approach. Lukashevich continued, the Lithuanian president would better put in her Russian language symbolic abbreviation to the Soviet era Young Communist League horns and try to get rid of her inferiority complexes caused by her Soviet past. She was a member of the Soviet era Communist Party, which clearly makes her holier than the Pope. Now, Grybauskaitė's remarks about Russia as a terrorist state also evoked stern responses from the deputy head of the faction of the Communist Party. Speaking in the Russian parliament back in November, he said, I want to change the International Relations Committee of the Russian parliament with the task to prepare a statement and maybe even an order to introduce economic sanctions against Lithuania, or maybe even a motion to stop diplomatic relations altogether. It is unacceptable that a president of a nation utters such rude and cynical word, said the Russian parliament chairman when asked to submit the communist faction to officially submit the motion. But for the time being, the Lithuanian foreign ministry appears unfazed. We have no plans to stop diplomatic relations, according to Lithuanian foreign minister Linas Linkevičius. That's what he said when he arrived to greet Stoltenberg in Karmala on November 21st, adding that he will not comment on a statement from a parliamentary faction in a parliament of a foreign state. Meanwhile, Grybauskaitė's statements have also provoked angry articles in the Russian media, and angry anti-Lithuanian messages were posted on the comment sections of several articles. However, questions have been raised about the integrity of the comments. A colonel in the Estonian Armed Forces and deputy director of the Riga-based NATO Strategic Communications Center of Excellence said at a conference called Civil Defense in the Hybrid War that the Russian Secret Services Commission cohorts of writers have the intention to write internet comments in Russia and abroad in service of the Kremlin's anti-Western propaganda war. He also backed up Grybauskaitė's statements. Quote, the voice of our small countries is often not well heard. He said it's why stronger language is needed. Now, this is quite a lengthy article, so I'm not going to go on too much about it. You've got the gist of it. But basically, Lithuanians support Grybauskaitė's remarks. She has the backing of her people. Well, how about a little bit lighter story than all this thing about spying and terrorist states? Riga is named, that's the capital of Latvia, has been named among the hipster capitals of the world. How do you like that? British newspaper The Daily Mail has named Riga, Latvia, as one of the most hipster destinations in the world. The newspaper named Miera Street, also known as Peace Street in Riga, as one of the trendiest districts in the world. They were once the gritty, rundown areas of a city that most tourist activity stayed away from. These days, however, the world's edgiest urban neighborhoods are magnets for the trendiest young crowds, according to the newspaper. The former industrial districts of Williamsburg in New York and Dalston in East London have been firmly established as meccas for hipsters in recent years, thanks to an explosion of pop-up restaurants, vegan cafes, bohemian shops, cutting-edge art galleries, and gourmet coffee houses. But the newspaper has included many other districts and cities around the world on its list of hipster cities. According to travel guide company In Your Pocket, Riga's Miera Lela, remember that's also known as Peace Street, is home to a bohemian community of shopkeepers, publicans, gallery owners, painters, writers, and stylish layouts of restaurants and boutiques that congregate in an unusual collection of inspired shops and cafes. Riga is the capital of culture this year in 2014, and Skyscanner adds that Miera Lela is a swarm of galleries, vintage shops, hairdresser bookstores, restaurants, and florists where you can barter green plants for your herbal tea. The center of the hipster heaven is a place known as the Dodd Cafe. It's spelled like Dad, D-A-D, but I suppose it's pronounced Dodd, a boutique coffee shop that offers home baking and regular acoustic concerts, according to the newspaper. So now that we've had the bright side of the news, let's go back to Lithuania and the troubles it's having. A Lithuanian spy has leaked NATO secrets to Belarus. A Lithuanian military paramedic has been spying for Belarus for about 5 years and gathering sensitive information on NATO exercises, a spokesman for Lithuania's prosecutor general has said. The citizen, born in 1986, who has only been named as AO, I guess it's sort of a code name, would feed Belarus with information about the armed forces of Lithuania. Ramondas Petrauskas, deputy chief prosecutor of the Organized Crime and Corruption Investigation Department of the Prosecutor General's office, said, "This leaked information included things about military equipment and weaponry in possession, participation in international NATO operations, plans of standard operations, various military training, information on the number of persons in specific elements or services, the personal information characteristics and moral and psychological attitudes of the daily agenda. The spy also shared information about military equipment, training, programs, exercises, objects of the Lithuanian Armed Forces and their purposes. The suspect would be given monetary remuneration for his services to Belarus, although prosecutors did not disclose the amount of money paid. The suspect spy would be, collect information and hand it over to a staff member of the Belarusian Secret Service. The man was born in Kaunas, was single, and had no criminal record. He served at the Lithuanian Grand Duke Algirdas Mechanized Infantry Battalion and raised no suspicious activity previously. Therefore, he was very convenient for foreign intelligent bodies. The suspect paramedic did not have a security clearance to assess to access classified information, but was able to provide daily information. He also took part in international exercises. Prosecutors say that the suspect is cooperating and giving evidence. He is sorry, they say. The deputy chief prosecutor of Organized Crime and Corruption Investigation Department, when asked whether the suspect admitted his guilt. Prosecutors do not have information whether he collected data would reach Russia. The pre-trial investigation was launched back in January. The case is not the first time when special services reports and people were apprehended for spying. Back on November 10th, a Lithuanian citizen who spied for Belarus and showed interest in the organization of flights in Lithuania was arrested. It's just amazing what people will do to sell out their own country for money. Well, now here's an interesting one for you. The headline reads, "One Simple Habit Destroys Ukraine. American, Georgian, and Lithuanians get key jobs in Ukraine's new government." There's a lot of comments here about Ukrainians for Ukraine for Ukrainians, but let's get you the story. The natives of the United States, Georgia, and Lithuania were hastily granted Ukrainian citizenship in order to become key ministers of the new government. Ukraine, which was approved by the country's parliament on Tuesday, they approved that, giving them citizenship. President Poroshenko has also announced he will sign a decree to grant citizenship to foreigners fighting on Kiev's side in the east part of the country. Natalie Yaresko of the United States, who currently heads the Kiev-based Horizon Capital Investment Fund, will take the reins at the Ukrainian Finance Ministry. From 1992 to 1995, Yaresko served as the first chief of the economic section of the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine. Before that, she occupied several economic positions at the U.S. State Department, according to Horizon Capital website. The position of health minister went to Alexander Kvitashvili, and I'm sorry if I butcher that name, who occupied a similar post in the Georgian government from 2009 to 2012. Now, this is a quote: "Ukraine spends 8% of its GDP on health care, but half its money is being plundered by someone. Alexander Kvitashvili must implement radical reforms, as he has no ties with the Ukrainian pharmaceutical mafia." Ukrainian parliamentarian Arseniy Yatsenyuk said as he presented the new minister to the deputies. Now, Lithuanian Aivaras Abromavičius has also been approved as the economy minister by the new parliament. Abromavičius was a partner in the $3.6 billion worth East Capital Asset Management Group, conducts his operations from Kiev after marrying a Ukrainian woman. There's hard work ahead of us because Ukraine is very poor and corrupt, and we'll have to use radical measures, he told parliamentarians. 288 of 450 deputies supported the cabinet proposed by Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, with the new minister sworn in right after the vote. Quote, I congratulate the Ukrainians with the formation of the pro-European government, Poroshenko wrote on his Twitter account. He told the Rada, which is a newspaper, that he views the foreigners as some kind of anti-crisis management that is needed due to the difficult situation in the economy, the fighting in Donbas, the necessity of radical reforms, and large-scale corruption. Earlier this week, the president signed a special decree granting Ukrainian citizenship to Yaroshenko, Kvitasali, and Abromavičius. Dual nationality is actually forbidden in the Ukraine, and the trio has already written applications to give up the citizen of their own countries, the citizenship of their own countries. Yuri Lutsenko, the head of Petro Poroshenko bloc, said. Now, Poroshenko went on to say that there'll be even more foreigners on administrative positions in Ukraine as the country, quote, must attract the best international experience, which includes assigning positions in the government to representatives of states friendly to Ukraine. Also, on Tuesday, the MPs from Poroshenko's ruling bloc have registered a draft law in the Rada on amending the Ukrainian legislation for it to allow citizens of other states in the government. And I apologize, Rada is not a newspaper, it is their parliament. It has been announced by Poroshenko a week ago. This move has been dubbed unprecedented and attracted criticism from experts, with some calling it an allegiance to the so-called European choice, and others expressing concern that it can be a sign of Ukraine losing its sovereignty. Now remember that President Poroshenko aims to change laws to allow foreigners into the Ukrainian government. He promised to grant the citizenship of Ukraine to any and all foreign fighters fighting for Kiev against the militias in the country's eastern Donetsk and Luhansk regions. Quote, I'm going to sign a decree conferring Ukrainian citizenship to those who defended Ukraine with their own arms and in their hands, he wrote on his Twitter account. However, not everybody in the parliament supports the inclusion of foreigners into the Ukrainian government. Earlier, the MP, the parliamentarian from the opposition bloc, said Alexander Vilkul suggested that by inviting people from abroad, the Ukrainian authorities are trying to absolve themselves of responsibility for the state of things in the country. In other words, for things coming unglued. Vickel's colleague, Yuri Boyko, said he can't understand how it was not possible to find 10 candidates for these cabinet positions among Ukraine's 40 million people. Now, I told you at the beginning that there's a lot of comments on this story. Usually you don't see these many comments, you know, and I go through a lot of news. Here's one guy, gentleman, let's call him. He calls himself Magilla. And he wrote, so much for Ukraine, for Ukrainians. Instead of banning the Russian language, they'll have to add a half dozen other languages. Incredible. Ukraine for Ukrainians and anybody else that wishes to show up. I'll share one more comment with you. You're going to have to pardon me because the English is kind of broken up. It says the Kiev, this guy calls himself Freedom Kenny. Kiev government is trying to change for the better, improve itself from corruption from the past president destroying the country. They fear to lose all that pork. Glad to see them change. They truly want to show that they want to be a real and free country. Wish my country had the guts to help them more. I would not mind fighting alongside their army, at least defending what they have got. Puppets giving them arms. And actually, I can't resist this one because these are short little ones. All new appointments approved by Goldman Sachs so that the continuing rape of Ukraine's people and national wealth is now assured. Ukraine's gold, it's already gone. Next to be decided are which big EU corporations get to bid on shaking down the people for what little is left. Well, in these final few seconds, ladies and gentlemen, we want to remind you that we are on the air. We will be on the air at least through the new year. The station sale that's been talked about so much never went through. And we've been assured that at least through January, independent Lithuanian radio will continue to broadcast. And finally, we want to remind you that for delicious Lithuanian food, a nice selection of Lithuanian cheeses and bread, rye bread, you know, that you gotta have it bread, and silkes, you know, herring, is available at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard in Santa Monica. All you need to know is that it's 28 blocks from the beach on the corner of Yale and Santa Monica Boulevard. 28 blocks from the beach on the corner of Yale and Santa Monica Boulevard, and we are open 7 days a week. Anyway, I want to thank you again for tuning in. This is Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and, of course, live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com. Tune in next week. Yeah.